1 Timothy chapter number 1. I've had this verse on my heart for several days, and I believe the Lord wants us to bring a thought from that verse in our hearing today, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 1, we'll be all over the chapter before we get done, but I want to key in on verse number 15. It said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I'm not fussing this morning, so to speak. I'm not trying to scold this morning. But I am going to make a statement. Christmas will come and go, and many, many people will never know why Christ Jesus came into the world. The Apostle Paul, in this verse of Scripture, he told us why that Jesus came into the world. He said, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How many of you believe that when we get saved, we would all have argued with the Apostle Paul? We would have argued. We would have said, no, there's no way you could be the chief because I'm the chief. Everybody know what I'm talking about? That's what conviction is. The Holy Spirit comes one-on-one with you and causes you to understand how sinful you are and how holy God is. And a man comes to the place where he believes he's the chiefest of sinners. God being my help today, I want to just look at a little thought from this verse. The thought is Christ Jesus came into the world. Christ Jesus came in to the world. Not everybody believes that. But I thank God that I'm amongst a bunch of people that understand and know that Christ Jesus did come into the world. And He came with you and I in mind. Let's pray together. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to bow our heads, come to the throne of grace with our hearts. Lord, it's that month of the year when we set aside a special day to remember and celebrate the Savior that came into this world so that we could get prepared to leave this world. God, we're all going to leave this world one day, Lord, one way or another. I pray, Father, today that something be said that would encourage somebody that's not ready to leave this world, Lord, to get ready. Father, I pray today that You would just help the Word of God to sink down into our hearts and our lives. And Lord, help us that we might see Jesus. I pray for those, our Father, that are suffering today. I think about Brother David Flannery, Lord, just a few weeks ago, the news of stage 4 brain cancer. Lord, Brother Merv and Sister Emma, how their hearts are broken, their daughter. God, I think about Brother Rick's family and his precious mother. Lord, the suffering that's going on in this world. Father, it's my prayer today that, Lord, You would help us to see beyond the shadows and beyond the suffering to a land that's fairer than day. Help us to realize, our Lord, that the whole reason You came into the world is so, Lord, we could come into Your world. We could have a home not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. God, I pray today, Lord, get a hold of our hearts. Help us, Lord, deliver us, God, from just another service. And help us to worship You in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I've got just a few things on my heart this morning from the chapter. not going to take them in kind of the chronological order in the chapter, but rather the chronological order in the life of the believer, like the Apostle Paul, like Timothy. The Bible said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The first thing that I have in the message today is that Jesus came into the world so that we could discover peace in God's salvation. The Word of God talks about peace. And look at verse number 1 through verse number 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. He said, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some of them that they teach no other doctrine. Let me say this morning, beloved, when an individual meets the Lord Jesus, they experience for the first time in their life this peace that the Bible talks about. And it's sad, but a lot of people are going to go all the way through Christmas, go through New Year's Day and into a new year, and they know nothing of the peace that God wants to give them in their heart and in their life. Jesus said, for this cause, when he was talking about dying, he said, for this cause came I into the world. He was born to die, that you and I might live. I read this. A television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo at Christmas time. Much as in America, Christmas shopping is a big commercial success in Japan. The interviewer stopped one young woman on the sidewalk and asked, what is the meaning of Christmas? Laughing, she responded, I don't know. Is that the day that Jesus died? Then the writer said, there is truth in that answer. Think about that for just a moment. She was laughing. She was kind of mocking it off. But beloved, the day he was born, he was headed to an old rugged cross. And he knew that and he understood that. You say, preacher, why would he do that? Why would he pay the sin debt? Because he knew that's the only way that you and I could have peace in our hearts. Peace with God has been made through the blood of Calvary's cross. There is no peace. The Bible said, saith my God to the wicked. The only way that we can have peace is to come God's way through the Lord Jesus Christ that came into this world and trust him as our Savior so we could discover God's peace. The Bible said here, look at verse number 13. It said, who was before a blasphemer? You can say whatever you want to. The Apostle Paul's not talking about anybody else. He's talking about himself. He said, I was a persecutor. I was injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I'll tell you this morning. Those who are living ignorantly in unbelief do not have peace with God. And they do not have the peace of God. And Paul is telling us in this chapter, when I met Jesus, for the first time in my life, I experienced the peace of God in my heart and in my life. No longer was I just religious. Oh, listen, he had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He knew all about religion, but he did not know Christ until the Damascus Road. And when God spoke to his heart, knocked him off of his high horse, so to speak, the light shined round about him. Then for the first time in his life, he experienced peace with God. Oh, beloved friend, do you have peace with God? Can you lay your head on your pillow at night and know that if your heart stops ticking in the middle of the night, thank God it'll be ticking in a land that's fairer than day. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for the born-again believer. Paul saying, listen, when I was blaspheming, I didn't have no peace. When I was persecuting, I didn't have any peace. You can say whatever you want to, but a man or a woman living in sin, they don't have any peace. Amen. There's a lot of people that are dreading. They dread, beloved, listen, family gatherings. All they want to do is more contention, boil up some kind of mess. Amen. Because they don't have peace in their heart with God. Oh, beloved friend, Paul said here, Jesus came into the world so we could discover peace in God's salvation. The Bible said the grace in verse 14 of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. How many believes His grace was exceeding? Amen. In your heart and in your life. Beloved friend, what a Savior He is. The second thing I see in the chapter, why did Jesus come? Christ Jesus came into the world so we could discover peace and God's salvation. But let me give you this. It doesn't stop there. A lot of people have never figured this out. Beloved, listen, it's not just about getting saved. That's just the beginning. That's not the end. But God sent Jesus into the world not only so we could discover peace, God's peace in His salvation, but He wanted us to have purpose in God's service. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, beloved, we're supposed to get saved. Yes, we are. But we're supposed to leave the altar to serve the Lord. Amen. I believe with all my heart that's what baptism is. It's a picture of the death, the burial under the water, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. And the Apostle Paul, look at it with me here. The scripture in verse number 11. The Bible said, according to this glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I wrote this down because it blessed my heart. Paul trusted Jesus, and then Jesus trusted Paul. That blessed my heart. You can say whatever you want to, honey, but it's an awesome responsibility to stand behind this book and preach this book. There was a day, thank God, in 1987, I trusted Jesus. About 30 days later, my Lord trusted me with this book. And beloved, you say, preacher, well, you're a preacher. Of course He trusted you. No, every born-again believer has been trusted with this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd give us purpose. A lot of people are miserable because they don't have a reason to live. A lot of people are miserable because they have no purpose in life. But the Apostle Paul said, according to this glory, the glorious gospel of our blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Watch this now. In verse 12, he said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. When Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, listen, there is such a thing as a God called preacher. There is. I say amen, don't you? God puts His hand on a man, calls him to preach the word of God. But I'll tell you something else. There's such a thing as a born again believer. Beloved, taking the responsibility. Listen, you and I are ambassadors of Christ. And beloved, we're supposed to be, getting God and sinners reconciled through the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, in that early church, one of the things that was going on, it wasn't just Peter. It wasn't just John. It wasn't just Andrew. Amen. Listen, they were people, they were getting saved, and everybody was going everywhere and telling people how good it was to know the Lord. We could discover purpose in God's service. I like what he said. He said, Christ Jesus, who hath enabled me. You say, preacher, I can't. Let me just say this to you. The Bible said, I can. You say, I can't, but Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe, listen, we need to get away from that. Over there in the children of Israel, they had that attitude. Can God prepare for us a table in the wilderness? We need to get away from that to God can, God can, God can. God can do great things for us so we can discover purpose in God's service. The third thing that I see in the message today, and I want you to think about this, so that we could discover purity through God's scriptures. Let me ask you a question. This is a personal question. How many of you have or have had, some still have, I do, things that you're trying to overcome in your life? Somebody help me. Help me. I've got people raising their hand that are over 60 years old. Some over 70. Some over 80 years old. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're human. We're flesh. But the Word of God said right here, I want you to see so that we can discover God's purity. Purity through God's Scripture. Look at verse number 5. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. When I think about the commandment, I think about the Word of God. A pure heart. We see, beloved, that we can have a pure heart, a good conscience, a faith unfeigned. It reminds me of a statement that I heard years ago, and I've never gotten over it. In our lives as believers, I'm not talking to sinners now. I'm talking to believers. Either the Word of God will keep us away from sin, or sin will keep us away from the Word of God. It'll be one way or the other. Beloved, listen, Paul knew that the Word of God is what the secret was to walking a pure life, a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. David, I got to thinking about David when he was up on the rooftop, when he was supposed to be in the battle, when he looked at Bathsheba, when he lusted after Bathsheba, when he sent for Bathsheba, when he slept with Bathsheba, and then he knew that she was with child. Then he sends for Uriah, and he Uriah drunk. You all know the story. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You can mark this down. The Word of God was not prevalent in David's life in those days. Some way or another, Brother Ralph, that old book had been laid over somewhere collecting dust. You say, preacher, how can you say that? Because you come into Psalm 119 and David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Oh, David put up a guard. He said, if I don't get this book in my heart, I'll do it again and again. But he said, there's something that can keep me pure, something that can keep me right with God, and that's a daily dose of the Word of the living God, something that'll help me along the way so that we can discover purity through God's Scripture. The Bible said in verse 6, from which some having swerved, have turned aside into unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they are firm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mother, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing contrary to sound doctrine, all beloved friend, there is no hope of living a pure life apart from the Word of God. And beloved, it's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God and, beloved, makes it real in our hearts and in our lives. Christ Jesus came into the world. It's more than just a little manger scene. He wanted to save us from our sin. He wanted us to have peace in our lives. He wanted us to have a purpose in our life, a reason to live. And he wanted us to live a pure life that would honor him. Beloved, listen, just in his name, Jesus, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. Now listen, to the average person today, it would read like this, he shall save his people in their sin. That's not what it said. He shall save his people from their sin. That's why the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Beloved, let me give you a couple more things quickly. I believe it's important. Christ came into the world so we could have peace in God's salvation, so we could have purpose in God's service, so that we could have purity through God's Scripture. But then number 4, so we could discover a pattern in God's servants. Look at verse 16. The Word of God said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. I used to do a lot of work in a machine shop, in a welding shop, and we had a torch called a pattern torch. They don't do it like this anymore. Now they have a torch that you just go on the computer and you just tell it the dimensions and the size, and you're on a computer over here and the torch is cutting the metal out over there. But used to, we didn't have that luxury. We had to make an actual pattern out of 1/8 steel, and there was a magnetic roller that rolled around up at top. It rolled around that pattern, and that piece of steel down there at the bottom might be 6 inches thick, but it was cutting out the exact pattern of that little thin piece that was up above. How many's got that picture in your mind? How many believes with all of our heart that you and I have a pattern? Say amen. Listen to me carefully. We can get an amen right here. There you have a pattern in heaven in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul said this, there's supposed to be some patterns on earth. Mom, Dad, your children are supposed to be looking at a pattern in your life. A beloved pastor, deacons, they're supposed to be looking at a pattern in our life. Memo, Pepo, they're supposed to be looking at a pattern in our life. The Apostle Paul said, he said, in me first, God showed mercy that it might be a pattern to those that would come later and come to know him. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, the Bible said here, I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. How many knows enough about the life of Timothy to know that the life of Paul was a pretty good pattern? I say glory to God. The Bible said there in those first few verses, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. Paul had the privilege to lead him to Christ. And beloved, he didn't just have the privilege to lead him to Christ, but he had the privilege, beloved, to disciple this young preacher. Amen, for the glory of God Almighty. So we could discover a pattern in God's servants. Oh, beloved friend, listen. We should want to live our lives. Listen, we should want to live our lives where if somebody followed us, they'd hear Jesus say, well done. We should want to live our lives till somebody followed us. They'd follow us all the way to the city of God. They'd follow us all the way home. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that his life was a pattern in God's servant. I please appreciate that, don't you? Let me give you this morning in closing. I believe it's important. Christ Jesus came into the world so we could have peace in God's salvation, so we could have purpose in God's service, so that we could have purity through God's scripture, and so that we could have a pattern in God's servants. But then number five, he came into this world so that you and I could express praise in God's sovereignty. You say, preacher, what do you mean sovereignty? Well, what it means is several things, but it means that God's in control, and it means that God knows the beginning from the end. Beloved friend, listen, those Christians that Paul was going down there and he was locking them up and he was whooping them and he was putting them in jail and he thought he was doing God a service. Listen, in God's plan, God was going to take that man that I would say, listen, he wouldn't have said it at the time. He was ignorant in unbelief, but he was being mean to God's people. And God was going to take that man, the Apostle Paul, and change his life. You say, preacher, where do you see the praise that's being expressed? Look at verse 17. The Bible said, now unto the King, eternal. I say glory to God, he's eternal. He's not just a babe in a manger, amen. But thank God he's eternal. The Word of God said he's immortal. The Word of God said he's invisible. The Word of God said he's the only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever, amen. You and I, beloved, that have had our life changed by this glorious gospel, we ought to be saying now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, to the only wise God, be glory and majesty forever and forever. Oh, beloved friend, he came into the world so that you and I could get ready to leave this world. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to leave this world? I don't know about you, but I think the longer that we live as God's people, the better home gets to look into us. Amen. I tell you, the world's in a mess. It's upside down. It's inside out. Amen. Listen, this thing, can you believe what's coming out in the news? what's been going on for years and years and years. I say this, I guarantee you they're just getting in on the tip of the iceberg of what's been going on behind the scenes. You give some people a little bit of power. You give them a little bit of prestige. And they think they're God and they don't need another God. I'll tell you, they'll answer to the God of heaven one day after a while. But beloved, you and I that have been saved by the grace of God, we have a peace, knowing that in the background, in the shadows, there's a God that's working on the scene. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. Well, he said, because the love of many would wax cold. Listen, I'm telling you, we're living in a cold world. I'm not talking about temperature-wise. I'm talking about the spiritual temperature. Amen. I was watching the news this morning, and so help me. I don't know where it took place. It's New York, probably. It was snowing, and people was running in a race and didn't have enough clothes on, amen, to make a Fruit of the Loom commercial. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, we're in a mess. People just don't understand that Christmas is not about that red suit, amen, but about Jesus the Christ that came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, beloved friend, I hope today that you understand you need him. You need him. The songwriter said it like this, I need thee every hour. How many can say amen to that? Every second of every minute of every hour of every day. Every day of every week of every month of every year of our life, we need him. We need him. We need him. We need him. If somebody's going to be saved, we need him. If somebody's going to be a pattern, we need him. If somebody's going to have peace, we need him. If somebody's going to discover the will of God and the purpose of God for their life, we need him. You know, I was thinking, Justin, that little boy is so precious. You can't raise him without him. You can't raise him for him without him. And I know with all my heart you're looking unto him. We need him. The church full of kids, we need him. I don't know how many times Brother Gale has whispered in my ear, you have a tremendous responsibility, Pastor, when those children stand up here on this stage. Oh, we need him. We need him. We need him. We have fellowship that's sweet. But if we continue that, it can't be without him. It has to be with him. I'll tell you today, we need him. Thank God. Listen, thank God. Brother Allen Brooks, one of our missionaries, this little Bible, it cost $3 to print it. This little Bible is going into the high schools as we speak in Papua New Guinea. There's already been thousands of them passed out. Hey, they get a promise, and I like that the kids would just read the first three or four pages. They get a promise. And he said before they leave, they've already got their Bible open, many of them, and they're reading about Jesus. And they're reading about sin. And they're reading about a Savior. Oh, I tell you, wouldn't it be a glad day in America if we could take these? Oh, we can take them into the jail. Isn't that something? Take all the Bibles you want to into the jail. I tell you what, if we could take them into school, maybe we could keep them out of jail. We're in a mess. We need him. Paul said that's the reason he came, to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate the reason that Jesus came into the world. I appreciate, my friend, the fact that he didn't just come once. He's coming again. This time, he's not going to be a little babe. This time there's going to be a horse and a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. What a blessing it's going to be. Beloved, Jesus is going to come for the saints. The tribulation will set in. 7 years after that, he's going to come with the saints. Or the saints are going to come with him. What a blessing that's going to be. Are you ready? Are you ready? Can you say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief? Of whom I am chief. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, today that, Lord, the Spirit of God would take the message and minister to our hearts, minister to our lives. Help us, Lord, not to miss Christmas. Help us not to get our eyes on the lights that are on the tree and not remember the light that shined round about us. Help us to see our sinful way. Help us to see our Savior. Lord Jesus, when you were here, you said you were the light of the world. Lord, now you said to your disciples as you departed, now ye are the light of the world. Help us as a church to shine as a light on this hill in a dark world. Lord, I pray this morning that you would use, God, these words. Somebody this morning, Lord, is just going through the motions. They really have never discovered your will and your purpose for their life. Somebody, Lord, this morning is, they're sitting there and they're still guilty. They're still unclean. They're still, Father, not saved. I pray, Lord, today that they would understand how much you love them, how much you want to forgive them, that, God, if they will just come, Jesus, you said, he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. I pray, Lord, today you'll just talk to that heart, speak to that heart. In Jesus' name.